All right. And so I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming to another Black Wallets Matters Town Hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be hosting this evening's festivities. If this is your first time on the call, I want to run down a few ground rules to how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours, so you know, let me say in advance, if you hang out to the end, we appreciate you staying with us tonight. I hope you guys are feeling inspired because we are now on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together to discuss solutions to the many problems we face in our community in an organized and intelligent manner. If you notice when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address one another as such is to show respect and as a sign of solidarity. During these calls, we do not discuss religion, we do not discuss the black male-female dynamic, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it pertains to black people and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into which party did this or which party did not do that. The reason we do not discuss these topics is because they are all opinion-based and no one is right and no one is wrong, and we will be here all night going back and forth, back and forth. For all the guests on the call, I want to tell you a little bit about this organization. So, and when we mean by guests, we mean those who are not yet members of the organization. If you haven't watched the blueprint yet, Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we are going to fix the problems in the black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the black dollars we already have. It's estimated we spent $1.3 trillion last year. So if we were to pool our resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. This is a form of black capitalism. We live in America, and whether, you know, no matter how you feel about it or not, we live in a capitalist society, and, you know, we need to learn how to play the game according to the rules if we want to succeed. The purpose of the Members Association is to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in the black community and are motivated to take action. The first thing you need to understand when you're dealing with a systematic problem such as the one that we face here in this country with the oppression and the injustice is that we're going to need a systematic solution. The solutions outlined in the blueprint are designed as such so that they can counteract the systematic oppression and injustices that we face. We can't do it on sheer willpower alone. So, you know, this organization, as I said, you know, people who are sick and tired, brothers and sisters who are sick and tired and are motivated to take action, the question you need to ask yourself is, are you tired of talking? Are you tired of sitting around discussing what we would have and could have and should have done, but we never actually do anything? So this organization is designed to create realistic changes in the economic, political, and social conditions of our people. It will take a generation or two to achieve that goal, and it will require a sacrifice from those of us who can to do for those of us who cannot so that we can be, quote-unquote, the elders for the future generation of black people. And that is the future generation, meaning your children, your grandchildren, so they will not suffer the same oppression and injustices that we have today. When I mean realistic goals, we want to change their concept, their understanding, their definition of what it means to be black. On the Facebook page today, I posted something called the Black Codes, and it basically said things like, black people, we don't kill each other. We help one another out. We don't fight each other. The sisters help the sisters raise their kids. The brothers protect the men and women first. Those are solid principles that I think we all could agree with and that we all could live with, that we all could abide by if we were taught. But we can teach those things to our youth, and our youth can fully internalize it and live it. And so when they start having things better than we have it, we know that there's going to be haters. We know that there's going to be the system and the powers that be is going to try to target them and harm them, and we have to put certain protections in place. So my thing is, if you're sick and tired of standing around and wondering, where do I start, who do I join, what's the plan, this organization is it. You're on the call with us tonight, so we thank you for taking that effort. But, you know, realistically speaking, we have to put our money where our mouth is. Other ethnic and social groups have proved to us that this model works, and you can look at the Jewish community, you can look at the LGBT community, you can look at the Asians, you can look at the Latinos, all these other group of people that, quote-unquote, America doesn't like. America is a very racist, a very biased place. These people have thrived nonetheless. They have accepted no excuses. They have put their money where their mouth is, and they have just gotten straight down to business. And that's what we have to do. So essentially, it's going to take an investment. We need to stop focusing on our differences. We need to stop getting so emotional when we hear, you know, when we get a true assessment or someone tells us about how messed up our current situation is. And most importantly, we need to learn how to disagree with one another without burning the house down and abandoning the overall plan. Normally, I ask people, you know, if you agree with that, you know, press star 6 or whatever, so I can kind of take like a impromptu poll, but I don't want to do that now because we have this echoing going on, so I will continue. Okay, so let me tell you what a group of like-minded brothers and sisters could do together. So as I said, so we talk about our black wallets. We talk about Black Wallets Matter. That doesn't necessarily mean that we spend our black dollars in every instance. It also could mean that we withhold them from businesses and entities that do not respect our patronage or have our best interests in mind. As the biggest consumer spenders in the American economy, you can believe if we united and boycotted a certain business, we would have a major impact on the U.S. economy and definitely on that business. And realistically, that is the type of effort that it will require. Those are the type of actions that it will require for us to make America sit up and pay attention. But when we do that, we have to be organized and unified. So just imagine if every time one of our unarmed brothers and sisters got killed, we banded together and killed off one of their businesses. You know, just let the impact of that sink in for a moment. America fully understands economics, and once we show them we understand how it works too, they'll get the message and they'll stop messing with us. Now, you know, everyone has, you know, anyone who's been in the struggle, anyone who's been trying to push, you know, try to push some type of community development or whatever it is, we all have our own ideas. Each organization has their own concepts of how they want to solve problems in the black community. But I want everyone to know that this organization has already mapped out its plan. We already have our blueprint. The priorities of this organization is to address the issues of black poverty, which affects over 70% of single black mothers, black unemployment, which is which affects us at 50% as compared to 9%. To white, and this recent wave of racially motivated police brutality. The reason we are addressing these issues specifically, poverty is one of the leading causes to some of the desperation and violent acts that we have run in our community. The high levels of unemployment, not having the opportunities for our young brothers and sisters also contributes to that. So what happens is we have a cycle, a generational cycle of poverty where these children are not being raised in loving and nurturing environments. And so they're going out having children. And then in turn, those children aren't being raised in loving and nurturing environments. And they're turning to violence or, you know, selling drugs or whatever it is. And so the cycle continues. So we have to break that cycle at some place, somewhere, and we have to say we accept responsibility, although we did not cause the situation that we're in, we did not cause the conditions that we are in. We have to say as a people that we are accepting responsibility for it, and so we are going to change the tide. So how this organization plans on addressing these issues is, as I said, through the member association, we collect membership dues. We are not a nonprofit organization. We are structured as a B Corp. A B Corp is a benefit corporation. Benefit corporations are businesses that exist for the sole purpose of helping or serving a particular group of people. So Black Wallets Matter exists for the sole purpose of conducting business to help the black community. So with that said, usually, well, it's not usually, The membership, our membership start at $10 or 25. I mean, sorry, start at the $10 at the silver level, 25 at the gold, and 50 at the platinum level. You know, when I speak to people behind the scenes and they ask me, so what is the difference between the levels? I explain to them, right now, this organization is building up. Our goal was to reach 2,000 founding members so that we can roll out certain perks. So if you become a member now, you would basically be coming at in at any level that you're comfortable at. Because we have not reached the 2,000 member goal in which to roll out the perks at the different levels. So the overall goal within the next 3 to 5 years is to get 1 million association members. And with 1 million association members, this organization will be able to generate over $300 million in revenue. With that kind of revenue, we could possibly get a $1 or $2 billion loan, and then that will allow us to buy some very large businesses, such as manufacturing. We could buy regional supermarket chains. As of lately, we've been talking about buying transportation companies and things like that. So those types of businesses will allow us to employ hundreds or possibly even thousands of our brothers and sisters. And with the profits from these businesses, that will allow us to create community resource centers in major black cities. And we can provide educational and occupational training to help more of our brothers and sisters either enter the job force or start businesses. And then we could, because we would teach them trades like plumbing, electricity, welding, teaching them to drive trucks, things like that. And that's how we would start making a dent into that cycle of poverty. The community centers, the community resource centers will also serve as a safe place for our youth to go instead of hanging out on the streets and getting in trouble. And while they're there, so like I mentioned earlier, the black coat, that's where they will learn this new cultural definition of what it means to be black. In addition to that, in addition to the cultural enrichment, they will learn skills like computer programming and, you know, some of the trades skills as well, so that it's not that they're just there killing time, playing basketball or something that's not going to contribute to helping them become more productive members in society. And then another portion of the profits from these businesses will go towards hiring lawyers and lobbyists in Washington to protect and enforce our civil rights. This will make it harder for law enforcement to kill our unarmed brothers and sisters and get away with it, and it will also provide protection for future generations. So if you notice, if you say anything, you can say something positive about the Jewish community, and they will have a watchdog or an advocate or whoever suing you for anti-defamation or for defamation or, you know, whatever it is, calling you anti-Semitic or whatever it is. They hire these people to be out there to remain vigilant and look at any and every instance or any slight. So that's how they protect themselves. And so people are usually scared to even go out and say anything or much less do anything against them. And that's because they remember the Holocaust. They remember their tragedy, and they're like, never again. We need to be galvanized by the effects of slavery and Jim Crow and peonage and all these other things that we suffered. It's like we act like, you know, like we'll get mad about it while we're talking, but it's like we're not mad enough to actually start taking action or organizing or whatever. Something else that we need to understand about organizing is that we have to figure it out. Very few organizations, I can think of one, but very few, well, two organizations, two black organizations have been successful, and that's the NOI or FOI or whatever it is, right? You know, the NOI, the Nation of Islam. And so then you have the black church. The black church is also successful as well. But then there is a gentleman by the name of, oh, God, I forgot his name. He was from Philly, and he created something similar to this program which we are trying to organize. Those are the only three black organizations that have been successful in corralling black folks and getting them to move as one. And that's essentially what we need to model. That's essentially what we need to do. But we don't want it based on religion. We don't want it based on any differences. We want it based on the fact that we're sick and tired of being treated as second-class citizens in a country that was built on our backs. Now, Obviously, these are very lofty goals, and as I said, they will take years of hard work to achieve. But to get the ball rolling and to have some quick wins, we have a current goal of 2,000 founding members. The 2,000 founding members will be those who sacrifice so that we could have something to show to the next 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 members that come aboard. And what we are trying to create is a proof element. So we're trying to create an interim business. Initially, we were talking about building a shopping portal, but because we're not getting members as fast as we wanted, we are looking at building this business called the Black Wall Street Project. The Black Wall Street Project will help people start businesses if that's the help they need. It will teach them financial literacy so that they can know what to do with their money, so they understand proper asset allocation. We have a sister who's explaining how to repair credit and things like that. But you know, not without, you know, without jumping through all those fancy hoops or whatever. It's just like little, you know, simple things that you could do. And then, you know, what I will be contributing to the project is additional ways to make money or generate revenue with, you know, online businesses and things like that. So with so that's what we will be doing, or that's currently what we're doing with the membership dues that we collect. That will also help raise the visibility of this organization and create a snowball effect where more of our brothers and sisters will want to join us and help build the next phase of our plan. For those who are concerned about how the money is managed, so we are at about 300. So we had a few members come in today. So maybe we are at about 300 and I want to say 20 members or something like that. So right now the organization is currently not generating enough revenue to sustain itself. I post quarterly reports monthly, but I post reports in the members area so you can see how much money the organization is actually taking in and you can see where the money is being spent. So for anyone who's concerned about, you know, like a Umar Johnson type situation or thinking, okay, this is some type of scam or this is some whatever, you can see how the organization takes in money, you can see where the money is actually going, and then you can see that there is a deficit every month, and I am the one covering the deficit out of my pocket. I believe in this organization. I believe in this system that we're trying to create. So we're not trying to create something where it's the Brother Lou show, right? This organization is not about me. It is about us as a people, and it is about creating a system, creating an invisible system, such as the system that they have applying the pressure to us, right? So if you know about, you know, if you know the history of our or other organizations, once the head is targeted and popped off or whatever, then the organization ceases to exist. We don't need that again. What we need is a system that works where it's ingrained in everyone and everyone is just on code. Everyone is just moving in unison. So with that said, if anyone has any questions about the organization, I'm going to put the call in Q&A mode and you can press star 6 on your phone. You know, if what I said to you appeals to you and you want to become a part of this organization, then again, we invite you to become a member. You can dip your toe in the water at the silver level, which is $10 a month, or, you know, $25 or $50 if your funds allow it. I'm going to set the call in Q&A mode, and then you can press star 6 to get in the queue. Once again, I apologize for the echo if you guys are hearing it. I don't know what happened on the call earlier, but, you know, we're not going to let that stop the show. Hold on. Go back to that. All right. So again, like I said, if you have any questions or comments in regards to whatever I said, then you can press star 6. And if not, then we will just open the floor up and begin our discussion for this evening. Sister Carol. Sister.
Yeah, I think you answered the question I was going to ask you. Was this membership dues monthly?
Oh, okay. Yep, they are.
Okay.
But you can you can manage in your back end. You can cancel anytime. Also, if you, so if you're saying I don't have money monthly, but you know, I have something that I would like to, you know, add to the cause, or I would like to contribute, or I would like to support, we have a link on the website now where you can make like a one-time contribution if that's, you know, if that's what you want to do. You can look in the menu, and then I think it says make pledge one-time support or something like that. So that option is also there.
Okay.
All right, sister. Hey, you know what? I don't hear the echo anymore. Do you?
No,
oh, right?
I don't.
Oh.
But I thought it was because all the phones were muted.
Oh, no, that wasn't. All right, cool, great. So we're rocking and rolling. All right, thank you, Sister Carol.
You're welcome.
Let's see. All right, so let me see. We have some new callers come in. We have caller from 404 area, 404-996. Your first name, please. 404-996, your first name, please.
Lawrence.
Okay, cool, brother Lawrence. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, so we have Brother George on. Brother George, let me unmute your mic. Hello, Brother George?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we were talking? Did you look into to the investment things or anything a little further that we were talking about yesterday?
Yep, I did. Okay. In listening to you talk, my wheels are spinning, and so one of the things that maybe we can try to accomplish in the short term with respect to a membership drive is maybe identify, you know, the cities that we would call chocolate cities, like Atlanta and Charlotte and yeah, D.C. and Philly and New York, and maybe have a reception of some sort. If there is an existing member in those markets, in Chicago and other cities, I'm not leaving them out, but it seems to me is that there may be a way to drive membership if you have a happy hour kind of event and have basically the same presentation that you did at the beginning of the call. And maybe that's a way to drive memberships in all those cities. If we can get, you know, an existing member that's already in Atlanta, an example, and have an event where you can invite people there and, you know, maybe you attend or a like-minded member that could speak on your behalf, and maybe that's a way to, because 3,000 doesn't seem like a big number to me. So that part of it is something that I think we should be able to knock out pretty quick. So that's a separate issue. But in terms of the business stuff, I spent part of the day looking into some of the things that we discussed, and hopefully you received a few emails from me, and I vacillate from looking at, independent supermarket chains to having them becoming certified members. And that what they're doing is just saying that they understand the challenges and they support the organization. And as a result of that, maybe they get listed in the program and encourage Black folks to support that type of grocery chain or something like that. There's probably a lot of options, and like I said, my mind is racing, so I'm gonna try to catch up with my brain.
Okay.
I'm thinking specifically of revenue generating things for the organization.
Cool. Okay, so all right. So let me address the first thing real quick. So in terms of the having like the local. Basically, it's the ambassadorship program. We've actually been discussing this in earnest. The sister who was doing it, she was organizing it, but she had just got back to work, and then she got hurt when she got back to work. So we actually had a plan for that. The thing was, and it seems like that's kind of like falling on my lap, and I guess we can discuss this a little bit more, Ernest, but we were talking about how to do it economically, and I was saying, you know what, maybe people need to just get together and have like a party in their backyard or in their living room or whatever it is, you know, show the blueprint, show the video, discuss some of the finer talking points, and then say, hey, you know, if you're interested, blah, blah, blah. So that's something that we're already thinking of. It's in the back end, you know, it's in the back of the head. Just to bring everyone else up to speed, though, during the beginning of the call, you guys heard me talking about looking at some of these large-scale businesses and, you know, all these different things that we want to do to employ more of our brothers and sisters, generate the revenue that we want. So we have come to the determination that the organization will move ahead without the 2,000 founding members. Last week, Brother Cujo, he brought up maybe 200 of the existing members. We would pool our money together, and then we would use that to purchase whatever business or whatever it is. We have a sister who was saying, hey, in addition to pooling that resource, pooling that money, there's a way that we could leverage them, especially if we have, especially if we have our eyes sight on a business. Now, Brother George has experience purchasing large businesses. A lot of you guys have been on the calls before, and you heard me mention that there's a brother who who figured out how to get a government contract by working with another business. What was it? It was Tank Sprockets, right? That's what it was, right?
Tank Sprockets. There were springs and all type of gears, helical gears, if that's a real technical term, but helical gears that go inside tanks. That was
right. So sprockets, very basically. All right. So the brother,
very,
so the
very,
brother,
very,
so,
very low tech business, but very
okay. Practical. Right, and so you know, if you've been on a call before. You know, I was saying that we have a brother who has experience with leveraging, like doing some really creative financing ways that we could, ways that we could leverage our status as, you know, African American business or whatever it is, and do some really creative things and still pull out the money. So for those of you, you know, who've been on these calls and, you know, you hear me speaking about like the mystery man or whatever it is, this is the brother I was referring to. So I just wanted to give you. No, because I've been explaining it, but you know, I'm like, yeah. I don't know how to do it, but I was like, well, we have a brother he's done it before, and he lives in that world. So when I talk about trying to finance some of these, you know, some of these larger deals or whatever it is, I'm letting them know, you know, with transparency, I'm not the one who's saying I know how to do this stuff. I am saying I know how to find people who know how to do it, and you know, our conversation and you know, some of the other brothers and sisters. So I just wanted to preface that so that way as you're explaining, you know, the call, you know, the people who are listening, the brothers and sisters who's listening can understand, where we're coming from, you know, as you're saying that you're looking at some of these larger parcels or whatever.
Well, certainly there are a number of options, and I guess it really boils down to, and I can provide very general information, but ultimately once the organization decides in a direction that they want to go cohesively. Let's say there's 200 members and each member puts up $1,000. So that's $200,000 we're working from. And when you have that kind of capital, you can, I'll give you an example. So there are public shells and privately held companies that are already formed that you have the ability to acquire, and most of them are certified to the point where they have existing credit, lines of credit, stuff like that. So you may have a situation where you buy a public shell, and with that public shell comes another $1.5 million to $2 million worth of credit. Now you got to know what to do with the credit, whether it's using the credit to buy supplies for a business, to leverage that to use it for manpower on a project or a contract or something like that. The worst thing would be to be able to buy one of these and not know how you're going to leverage that credit. So if if the organization decides to purchase an existing freight brokerage company, and the company has, let's say you purchase a public shell or a privately held shell, and you buy an existing business, so you've got cash flow from existing business, and you have the credit line or the credit worthiness of the existing organization. So when you marry those two up, you could end up with possibly $5 million worth of value, or maybe even up to $20 million. I think I sent you one of the trucking firms that I thought might be a good target because, one, it was generating a lot of capital or a lot of revenues, and the owner of the business was willing to participate in seller financing. So not only could you take an organization, buy a company, and have a credit attached to that, but you also have a business that you're acquiring, and the owner is carrying some of the paper. So what that means to me, two things. One is that the owner is a solid, he thinks of the business in such a high manner that he's willing to carry some of the financing, and
right.
He's going to stay invested emotionally and help support the transition to the new owners. So that's a way of acquiring a business where you have limited capital, but you're buying a capital-intensive business because you can use your lines of credit to buy additional trailers, tractors, et cetera, and expand the business.
And so, you also said when you acquire that, because they have the assets, you could also leverage the current assets of the business, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You can use – let's say you have – I'll stick with a trucking business because that's what we were talking about. But let's say you have a trucking business and you have 25 tractors and 50 trailers. Well, they certainly have value to them, and you can certainly borrow against them. So if you have an existing business and you have real estate or equipment and those things that you can borrow, all the value is in the business because you can borrow against it. I'll give you another example. If you look, and most of you, if you look at business like a lot like I do, there are a lot of websites that generate a lot of information. One of the websites you can look at is DealStream. It's DEAL Stream, all one word, and they have businesses that are for sale. And it would allow you to see different types of businesses, how different types of businesses are priced, and if the organization is taking that position to go, you know, buy an existing business, buy existing cash flow, which is, as you and I agree, buying existing cash flow is probably the best thing for the organization because it also allows you to increase membership and do a lot of different things. And so if you can buy a business with existing cash flow and not only grow the cash flow through additional business, but also use the cash flow to generate more membership, then I think you've done two good things to move the needle forward in the fashion that you're talking about.
Right. Okay. All right, cool. All right, Brother Cujo, I'm going to unmute you. Let me see. Brother Cujo, are you there?
I'm here.
Peace. So let's say we were to acquire this credit or whatever it is, right? So I'm assuming the company, the transportation company we buy, it would have existing contracts, obviously, right? Because that's how it's generating the revenue. What additional things would we be able to leverage, or what else would we be able to use that credit to create? Like more jobs, more income, whatever, more opportunities. Like how could we use that? And some of our focus has been to try to create more jobs and recruit in more, you know, well, actually get these young dudes off the street. That's my thing. I wanted to try to move into like the trucking industry because we could take a lot of these young brothers, help them get their CDLs and put them in a truck or something. But what are some of the other things that you in that industry that we could leverage that you think that we should be focusing on?
It's pretty basic. The brother already mentioned it. starting from this place just mentioned, so I'm gonna kind of piggyback off of what he said. Going in that direction, buying more tractors and trailers. It's just about making the when you have more trailers, it pretty much makes the business more efficient, and we can serve the customers more effectively. And when we buy an existing business like this, like was mentioned in the transportation industry, yeah, typically we'll come with certain accounts where there's already a positive cash flow, and it's just a matter of maintaining the accounts by being effective, and we're also having a possibility of leveraging what we have at that point to get more tractors and trailers. We basically would just be accumulating more accounts. And one thing I would suggest is also attaching a freight brokerage to the trucking company. And that way we end up saving. That way we end up saving more money, and we would be able to lease other trucks or other small carriers and owner operators, which would expand the business and put the growth like way up higher. But. Also being able to cover the cost, which saves money without having to put a factoring company in place in some sorts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually a lot of stuff in the transportation industry is pretty much cut and dry. I mean, we want equipment, just basically being trucks, trailers. And as it expands to a point, it's more efficient to save money by having your own mechanics and repair shop. In transportation, you make more money by saving money. You don't necessarily have to cut corners, but when you actually have the capital, when you have the working capital, it saves you a lot more money, and it makes the business like tremendously more profitable. So in that same direction, again, to reiterate, trucks and trailers, and as we're able to expand with brokerage and also having our own repairs, because that's one of the things that comes with transportation is maintenance and taking care of breakdowns and stuff like that. And just to give you a rough example, it's the difference between regular maintenance and stuff that happens. Say you get a flat on a steer tire. The average person might spend $1,000 on fixing a steer tire.
A flat on a truck costs $1,000?
Yep. Out on the road, it could cost $1,000. I've seen people pay more than that.
Jeez.
But okay. depending on how you're set up, and the relationships that you have, I mean, it could cost as little as a few hundred dollars.
Okay.
And these things, being able to be more efficient and self-sufficient by taking care of these things on our own, it uh-huh. saves the business a tremendous amount of money, you know.
Right, I get it. Right, so you make it in, right? So you got more savings. All right.
Right.
All right, so brothers, I want to thank you. I just wanted to touch up on that and, you know, bring that to the group, because when we have the members meeting, we will be discussing this a bit more in detail. So I want to thank you, brothers, for contributing.
Can I
to
add
that.
One thing, Hewitt?
Sure.
In addition to the idea of it, you can also look at most of FedEx Ground and the mail service, even though the mail service is gone down tremendously because of the internet and everything, but both the United States Mail and FedEx, they do contract work. So there's a lot of contract work that could be had. And I'm sure that FedEx has a diversity minority program, as certainly as well as the federal government. So there could potentially be contractual business that could be secured as a result of of using this business model.
Okay. So you're not talking about buying. You're not talking about buying the routes. You're talking about actually partnering with FedEx and saying we're what, like a minority-owned trucking company or something like that.
Exactly. And they have okay. They have a bunch of routes that are always up for bid. So there might be, let's say, 15, 20 routes in a region or an area where, with the minority status, could probably secure them. And I'm sure they have some kind of diversity program that would embrace something like that.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I had a few other points. Actually, I didn't even explain like what the topic was for the night. We just jumped into the discussion. So again, we were the past few weeks. I've been a little sick, but I've been speaking to a lot of brothers and sisters behind the scene, and we were talking about how could the organization, with the current membership that we have, since Brother Cujo brought this up last week, how could we use the existing membership that we have to actually create some type of impact in the community? One of my things is, if we are able to immediately start attacking jobs and, you know, or providing jobs and providing opportunities or different types of outlets, one of the things is, you know, so, you know, we want to create industries for black people. So right now we currently we dominate the health and beauty. Well, not even health and beauty. We actually barbers and beauty salons and restaurants. But we need additional industries to and different additional services that we need to provide in our communities. So Sister Shamika and I, we were talking about insurance, creating like our own like black insurance company or something like that. But that was, you know, like a lot of these ideas that we're talking about, they're really capital intensive. So I had like some low tech or low investment type of businesses that I was thinking. And so like one of them was like, we could teach people how to repair. We could teach our brothers how to repair cell phone screens. Half the people I see with their phones, the screen is cracked. If we could set up kiosks or set up, you know, like in barbershops, we teach somebody how to do it. They watch some YouTube videos, learn how to do it. A guy, you probably can start that business for a couple of $100. Maybe we could have a training program. I saw that on The Prophet. I don't know which show it was. It was some other show. They were teaching veterans how to repair cell phones and how to repair the screens. And then when they did like a follow up on the business, they were generating like $1.5 million a year in that business alone. So that would definitely be an industry where we could, you know, get our way in there. One of the other things is clean out services. People constantly need junk. You know, maybe we could start pooling together a group of people and saying, hey, go buy a dump truck. From what I understand right now, dump trucks are in demand like crazy. So if we have a bunch of dump trucks, a bunch of dump trucks, and then we have people going out doing clean out businesses, then that would be, you know, now we got a lot of young guys. We could just snatch them off the street. They don't need any special skills. They just got a strong back. We could generate money like that. Generate money for the individuals working and the organization, and that doesn't take a lot of money to start. Another thing is we could create like a nationwide black lawn care business. So it's like, how hard is it for somebody to learn how to cut grass and weed whack or whatever? And it's like, okay, cool. You know what? We're going to hire black. Most likely, most of us probably hire Mexican or some kind of Spanish person. My grass guy, he's a Mexican guy. But I would definitely love to hire a brother, and we can do that. And that's something. It's a low investment we could get in, right? And so the purpose of using some of these low investment businesses, you know, as far as I'm concerned, is to get a lot of these young men and women off the street, have them put some money in their pockets, have them feeling some pride, getting them out of trouble, but then also raising the visibility of the organization at the same time. So, you know, if anybody has any other ideas, for like, you know, low involvement businesses or something that we could get started with, like, right now. You know, press star 6, man, and, you know, share some of the ideas that you guys have. Because we want, like, next year, we want Black Wallets Matter to have created this particular result. That's the bottom line, right? So we don't want to exist and people say, hey, we're seeing you around, but what are you guys actually doing? Next year, we just want a string of progress. We want to, so when we posting it, we want a bunch of kids that did this. We want a bunch of men and women that were doing that, you know, whatever, whatever. All right, so we got a caller in the queue from, actually, I didn't get your name, caller. Caller, your first name, please.
Helena.
Helena, okay, hold on, sister. Let me.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, you. We were talking when you came in, so. Okay, cool, sister Helena. I see you, brother Ben. Okay, got it, sister. You got the cue.
Okay, yeah, I had a suggestion. You were just asking about suggestions. It was one that I had thought about before, but I really don't have the resources as far as the time. But it was a low startup auto detailing. But not just auto detailing as far as, you know, how people typically do it, but do it from the standpoint of pulling in the youth. And maybe we would have professional auto detailers of companies that do it professionally and have good reviews, but use them for training purposes to train either the members, you know, whoever's going to head it up or whatever, train the members so that then the members can then pull in the youth. And the reason why I say the youth, because, of course, everybody knows that, you know, the youth is what's going to be able to carry everything on that, you know, that's being started right now. The youth is going to be able to carry it on for years and years while everybody else is, you know, passed on. But also, too, I think, you know, that's going to give younger people a sense of accomplishment, something to look forward to. So that way everything that, you know, you guys are setting up right now, it doesn't just topple down when the young people don't, you know, don't have anything to kind of keep them focused, if you will, and keep them on the right track, you know, not in the streets and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So if you start them off young, because at least that's what worked for me as an entrepreneur, you know, starting off young, seeing my mom as an entrepreneur, you start people off young and teach them a skill, then it's like really you'll never be unemployed. If you know how to be self-employed, you'll never be unemployed. So I think it's really important to start with the youth. And that's something, you know, like you were saying, as far as low startup, that's like super low. Like I had even in my area, I just moved to the area where I stay, but I had put it on Facebook, you know, just trying to see if other people was interested in doing it who had time. Because I'm like, literally, you should start like $500. I had even offered to pay the $500. I just didn't have the time because, you know, I'm a working person. I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul like everybody else. But I was willing to put up the $500 because I truly believe that it can work. I know it can work, but I also truly believe in what, you know, it would ultimately accomplish. So that's something, you know, low startup that we can do, you know, in addition to the other things that you said as well that were low startup and could be effective.
Okay, great. Okay, so auto detailing. Okay, I like that idea. I like that because that's nothing but a bucket, some soap, and some elbow grease. I like that.
Yes.
Okay, Brother Ben, give me a second. We have a few callers who I did not get a chance to get their names. Caller from 254 area code, your first name, please. Caller from 254 area code, your first name, please.
Sorry, I had to unmute. It's Rhonda.
Okay. Hold on. Can I get the initial of your last name? Because we have
B, the letter B. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay. Yes, I can. Okay, Sister Rhonda B. Okay. And caller from 708-632, your first name, please. Caller from 708-632, your first name. Okay, caller left. Peace, Brother Valerie, how you doing? And let's see here. Brother Ben, you are live. Brother Ben? Brother Ben, I hope you, I know you're probably on your computer. Are you, unmute your microphone or something, brother? All right, we're going to get back to you. Sister Carol. Sister Carol.
Yes, I wanted to piggyback on the the detail business, is that the same as car wash?
Uh-huh.
Because I think, you know, these mobile car wash would be good for these youth. Because, I mean, you know, I would love to have someone come to my house on a weekly or biweekly basis and wash my auto. Because
nice.
It never gets washed.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, I always thought that would be a good business to have a mobile car wash. And that would be good for the young people, you know, to set up a list of clients to, you know, keep their vehicles washed and detailed without a lot of cost involved.
I really do think, right, so we can get someone from a particular, from a specific area, hopefully, and we can have someone coordinate that. And it's like you said, get a list of customers first. Get a list of customers
right.
first who would be interested in it, and then go and find, you know, get some young men and women. And only thing that, I guess we can work on the details later, because I'm thinking about, like, how would they bring around water, but, you know, they probably could use yours or something like that. All right. Thank you, sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put you down as the first customer, too. So 708, what's that, Chicago?
Yes, this is a suburb outside of Chicago, right?
Okay, cool. All right. Brother Ben, I see you. Hold on. Brother Ben. Hello? Brother Ben. Okay. Caller from 708. 632 area code. Your first name, please. Call from.
Hey, Brother Lewis, Clary.
Oh, peace.
I'm listening, but going along the lines of what you said about the idea with the labor, sort of gigs, moving in that case. And maybe even like cleaning services, like offices and stuff like that.
You said moving. I like that. Yeah, moving. Yeah, and cleaning. Yeah.
I know in my area, in my city, there's lots of opportunity for that. So I'm not sure. In busy like metropolitan areas like Chicago or New York, or maybe not as much, but in smaller cities, maybe, you know.
Okay, brother Ben was texting me something. Let's see if I can try to get him back in the queue. I like that. Hold on for a second here. Brother, unmute your microphone. I don't know, but real quick, something I wanted to share with you guys. A few weeks ago, Brother Valerie was talking about using a secure credit card to rebuild the credit. So we were looking into that a little bit more, and I found this site. It's called selflender.com. And essentially how the company works is you buy, the company buys a certificate of deposit for you. I just wanted to share this before we forget. But the company buys a certificate of deposit for you. So let's say I think it's like $1,000 or whatever it is, or maybe $500. But you pay $50 a month. And what happens is as you make each payment, it builds your credit. And then at the end of the year, you actually get that CD. So it's like a way of forced savings where it builds your credit. And I thought that was really cool. It's called SelfLender, SelfLender.com. So anyone who's looking for a way to like build their credit and still save at the same time, you might want to check that out because it's really cool. I started one of these things up. I'm waiting for them to get back to me with the banking thing. But you're building your own savings, and you're building your own credit, you know, by putting money into a CD. So I just wanted to share that before I forgot. Hold on for a second. So this brother, he can't come on. So again, if anyone has any other ideas for how we could, Brother Ben, I can't get you on the call. I don't know what's going on. You're in the queue, but I can't get you to speak. So we are going to move on to the next, to one of these other topics that I have here. And one of it is, it's having economic pride. And I had someone email me about this, and they were saying that they think the biggest problem that we have in the Black community is that we have no economic pride. And so I asked them to explain, and they were saying it's like we don't care what we spend our money on, or like we know we have whatever kind of problems going on in our community, but we won't make those investments towards the improvement of our community. And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, and I think one of the major reasons is because we don't have something visible or something organized for people to say, hey, this is what I'm going to contribute to, or this is where I'm going to, put my money into. So, you know, if anyone has any comments or questions on that, I would love to hear your thoughts, because it's true to a degree. We don't want to put our money, we don't put our money into these things that could help and improve us, but I think it's because we don't have any, like, system. I think we don't have anything tangible. Most of us grew up giving our money to the church, I think we need, like, some social activities or some social programs, and most of the ones, I know from where I live, I know a lot of those things were created by the city or by the government. And when the funding started shifting around, those programs got pulled away. So I think we need some type of cultural entity or something that where we know we contribute our money, and then that's the thing that grooms and teaches our youth or whatever it is. So Sister Elena, hold on. I see you in the queue. Go ahead, Sister.
Okay. Along those lines of what you were saying, as far as how it happens in our community, I think one of the reasons, a major reason that happens to us is because we do have a lack of economic education. And basically what I mean by that is, of course, that's a broad aspect, but part of it, just like about credit. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't know about credit. You know, your parent might have just told you, don't go out and spend a lot of money on credit cards and you'll be in debt. But what they didn't actually educate us on is actually how to properly use it. Other things as far as just kind of basic math that, okay, we got the 1 + 1 = 2, but who took the time to teach us about banking math to know how to calculate interest? And why that's important is because when we're saying, okay, well, we're not spending our money the way that we could, is because we haven't bought in yet. Why haven't we bought in? Because we haven't been educated on how it can benefit us. It's like once someone shows you that, hey, this is why you should, like how you broke it down with the CD, you know, this is why you should put your money in this CD. You know, because you're just saying, well, put your money in the CD. Like, well, I can hold on to my own money. Why do I need to put it in the CD? Well, this is why. Because doing this over time is going to increase your credit. Having more credit is going to allow you to be able to use OPM, other people's money. Well, why do I want to use other people's money? I just want to pay with cash. Well, that's kind of what we were taught, but that's not what's most effective. It's kind of like saving all your pennies under the mattress. Well, 1 + 1 is still going to equal 2 unless you can multiply it, unless you can turn it into something else. So if I have, you know, just a basic example, if I have a $5,000 credit card, you know, some people say, oh, just save it for emergencies, that's it. Why can't I turn that $5,000, even if it's going to cost me 10% interest, that's $500, that's $5,500. But let's say if I can, whatever I invest that $5,000 credit card in, I see that as a viable investment, it's now going to return $6,000. Well, now I've made $500, and I didn't use my $5,000. You know, so you can't look at, I just had to pay $500 interest. No, you just gained $500 is what you did because you didn't even use your money. But it's the economic education like that, that not all of us got. I'm not going to say nobody got it. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't get it. You know, I didn't learn it until I was an adult. But, a lot of us didn't get it. So, therefore, we don't have the buy-in as far as, I don't know why I should spend my money on that. That doesn't make sense. You know, why would I spend my money on this or that? And so, therefore, we wind up spending our money incorrectly in ways that it actually hurts us overall. You know, that's my opinion on it.
That I just had, prior to getting on this call, I had a conversation with this brother, and I was telling him that – I was telling him essentially the same thing. I said, man, I started up, I had a few dollars, my mother and my father, they were like, oh, no, you want to do everything cash. You don't want to do this. And the way that I was taught, it was like credit was to, like, buy stuff. I was like, the way that I know now, credit, you could use credit to, like you just said, like an arbitrage opportunity. So if you can, if you have good credit and you can borrow at 3%, at 4%, you can go and make an investment that's going to return you 8 or 10 or whatever, or 13% or whatever. You just made 10% just on your good credit. You just created money out of thin air. And so that's something that I learned really, really late in life. And you know, though we need to pass on that type of information. You're right. But I think that going, you know, to the person when they said, like, you know, the pride, I think, like, that should be, like, in a community resource center. I think, like, these kids, they go outside their house. They should have a place to go and start to get this education. Because in a Jewish community, they go to yeshiva school, and that's where they learn this stuff. I believe they teach their kids this, like, envelope method. They teach them, they get the money, you take a percentage, you put it in this envelope, you take another percentage, you put it in this, you do this, you do this. They teach their kids at a very, very young age. And I'm telling you, I believe we need that so bad in our communities. I just know that, you know, it's going to take. So maybe if we had, like, you know, maybe like somebody said last week, rent the bottom of a church and just get some brothers and sisters who actually care and go down there and start teaching it to adults, kids, whatever, right? So that we can start knowing to make better decisions with our money. And then this is what I ended the conversation with the brother. I said that we should be showing people exactly what to do with that money. Right. So telling somebody, hey, you should be making an investment is one thing. But I think we should be telling them you should be making this kind of investment, or you should be looking for these kinds of investment if you don't know anything. Or this is how you should be looking to invest in real estate. Or this is how you need to be assessing businesses and looking to buy a business. So I agree with what you're saying. I just went a little step further with what you said. I appreciate you adding on. This is your first town hall, sister?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Okay. So Brother Cujo, he said he couldn't get into the queue. I don't know what's going on. Okay, there he is. There we go. And Brother Tracy. Okay, Brother Cujo, you're live.
All right. I just want to share this little idea real quick. I realized some years back that in the black community, on black culture, we are generally not taught about financial literacy, and most of us grow up not having a clue about what to do with money. Not to say that some people don't, some people do, but as far as what I was saying, most people really don't. And I kind of boil it down to something really simple. It's stuff that there are a couple of sayings that I did hear growing up, like you never spend all of your money, and I used it and it worked, but I started to teach my kids some years ago, and this is something that we go over on a regular basis. Anytime we talk about money, income, wherever they get money from, however they get it. You always have to do your splits. Now, this is something that I kind of just came up with, kind of made sense, and it's easy for them to understand. A very simple principle: you never spend all of your money. You do like a 60-35-5 split. And my kids have started to become acclimated to it, to where if they buy something to sell something, if they buy something to sell or whatever, or if they get an allowance or they whatever little income they get, they dedicate 60% towards their lifestyle. And I just came up with this because I figure it's pretty challenging to go broke when you only spend a little over half of your money ever on your lifestyle. 30% goes toward investment. Not big. My idea is not really big on saving, but more on investment. like specifically we might save to invest in something. But the idea is to always have some money turning around. And continuing with the splits, the 5 and 5, you have something for charitable and for family fund. But
oh, nice. That's cool.
This is right. It keeps them in a position, and they get the understanding. Like I said, they got acclimated to it, so they always have money because they're not allowed to spend more than they're not allowed on whatever they want to do. They're not allowed to spend more than 60% of any money that they've gained, and they come up with different little things. Sometimes I might give them different little jobs to do or whatever, and they might come up with things on their own, something that they want to do. They see something on the internet, they might say, "Hey, people like this, so I want to get some of these." And they just do it in accordance with whatever money they gained, whether it was $10 or $100. That means they got $3 to $30 to spend on going to buy something to make money off of.
Okay.
And then they split the profit.
I like that. That's a good model. That's a good model.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen the benefit of it. So I just want to throw it out there for anybody else to consider the idea. I've seen my kids take it in value, and they actually use it. It encourages them by default to, they're always looking for ways to find, looking for ways to make money off of something. Like one example, they find out that it was some snakes, some garden snakes under a board in the field behind our house. So they come up with a little idea and say, hey, we're going to sell snakes to the kids in the neighborhood. Everybody is scared to touch them at first, so we'll go and catch them. And then they got these little boxes and started selling the snakes for like $15 a piece. And
That's cool.
They use that to buy some other
stuff. Early. Yeah, you started with entrepreneurship earlier. That's one of the keys. We have to do that. I think it needs to be systematized in a way where, like I said, like how I know the Jewish community, they have those kids in that school. They're teaching them, like sort of like how you're saying, breaking down the money that they get. We need to find something, and we need to do that. And it's like I'm harping on, and you know, Sister Shamika and I, we talk about this. We need to dominate another industry. We need to pick an industry and need to say, this is where we're planting our flag, and this is what we're going to be known for. It needs to be something of production. So we need to be investing in production. So do you have anything you want to add in conclusion, brother?
Not at the moment.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, Brother Tracy. Peace, brother.
Yes, brother, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You know, all the ideas that I've been hearing, with some great ideas, I think the presentation that you have, it's a full spectrum of the problems that exist with us, and it also kind of offers solutions. And certain things that some of the members were saying can be put into some type of text format and maybe used as an opt-in, a way of, you know, getting people's interest to opt-in to build up the membership. So I don't know if you were thinking, you know, along the lines, but that's a great way. I always find that when you're giving away something free, some kind of knowledge, information or whatever, and people opt in, then, you know, you got them, and you just keep pushing it to them until whether they get it or not, but you've made a present. And another thing I was trying to do here, I had started a Facebook page called the Black Wall Street Initiative, and what it was about was getting a local directory of all the black-owned businesses that provide, you know, services for the community, and maybe getting some people involved, you know, 10, 20, 30 people, and then on particular days, we just go in there and do a cash mob. We go in there to spend money just to, you know, make sure the business have a good payday. I think, you know, that would be a way of locally of maybe doing that, and in return, the business would maybe donate to the cause or subscribe. So I see a lot of potential here, brother, and I definitely want to be a part of this.
I appreciate you. I thank you. Thank you for coming on board. We had a few different. So like the directory, we have a directory, an existing directory. But I hear what you're saying. You're saying you want to do it locally and go around and support those businesses. That's something I don't think that suggestion is, you know, come down a pipe or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely something to keep in mind. What I'm really thinking about, because I got my head, you know, these ideas that you guys are talking about are really good. I'm trying to figure out how we would do, like, the brother Cujo said, a window cleaning. I'm wondering how we would do the auto detailing. I'm sitting here really thinking about this, because these things are low investment. We just need to pool. We need to get the work together, pick a place. Let's say if we pick, like, Chicago, get these little young guys signed up. We would need somebody in that area to direct them. But once that's done, we can get this thing. We really can make that happen. I'm really excited about that idea. All right, brother. Thank you for weighing in.
Okay.
Peace. Sister Elena. Yes, sister.
Yes, I had a response. You said you was wondering, like, how do we get started in that? Well, I do have one way that you get started in it. Basically, you look for other experts in that field, and it doesn't have to be big companies, but just other companies, and they can be small, you know, preferably black-owned companies, but someone that already does window cleaning. It's not hard to find those because, you know, we got the internet. Someone who already does a moving company or detailing, whatever it is, find a company and, you know, ask the members as well. I mean, I know some people in certain industries, and I'm sure everybody else knows people in industries, so we can all, you know, contribute and say, hey, I know I don't specialize it, but I know a buddy who's really good, and he specializes it, you know, and, you know, you kind of vet them and see, okay, well, this one has good reviews, this, that, and the third. But basically, all you have to do literally is reach out to the companies that are already doing what you want to do, and then you hit them with, hey, can I learn from you, or can I set up a crew to learn from you, whatever the case it is, because we don't want to just go to them. This is my opinion anyway. You wouldn't want to just go to them and say, hey, can we put you on and you do this for us, because then the group wouldn't be learning to fish. We don't need anybody to feed us anymore. So we need to learn how to do the stuff. Whoever's going to, you know, be in charge of that, learn how to do the stuff. And anybody, I don't know anybody that doesn't speak green. So all I'm saying by that is plenty of these companies, if you're willing to pay them, and I mean pay for the best. So don't go expecting something for free and then wonder why you didn't learn how to properly detail a car. You know, you be willing to pay for it. You pay for that training just like you pay for school. Pay for that training. It may only be a week. But then now that someone has taught you how to do it, in a week's time, now you have at least a basic skill set to now put it together. And it's just really that simple. I know for a fact because I've done it in my field. I'm in the automotive field, just not detailing. But I did the same thing. I didn't know how to work on cars. I asked someone, will you teach me? They taught me. Then I went into running a repair shop, you know, some years down the line. But it's really that simple. So that's how we can get started. If someone, you know, wanted to, whatever area you guys decide to go in, it's not hard. Just reach out, ask someone, and be willing to put some green on it. I'm not talking about thousands of dollars. People don't charge that to show you how to detail a car or, you know, move some furniture or something. But just be willing to go ahead and line their pockets, and I guarantee you somebody will speak your language.
So you're essentially saying, so when I was saying putting it together, I was actually saying starting with getting the crew guys together and all of that, and then figuring out how much they would actually make per job. So I was thinking about like all of it, but I see what you're saying in terms of where they're actually going to learn the skill, where they're going to learn the proper
right.
way to do that. So you're
right.
saying reach out to a window cleaning company or auto detailing company, say, hey, listen, we have a crew of guys, they need to be trained.
Yes,
how
sir.
Much would you charge us to train these guys professionally or whatever?
Yes, sir. If there's not already that in the group, you know, with all the members that, you know, are already above on board, there may already be someone in the membership that already does that. You know, definitely try and reach inside first. But if someone isn't there, then yes, sir, reach out, because it's difficult to put the you know, to go ahead and try and start the business, but you don't know the business yet. So it's easy. It sounds easy to say, okay, well, let's just put some people together. Come on, let's, you know, go and, you know, move some furniture and mow some lawns. But who knows how to do it? You can't skip the education step. So that's where I'm saying, if someone already in the group already knows how to do it, boom, that's where you start with the education. Get the education, and then boom. And I'm not talking about 4 years of education. Seriously, it really doesn't take that long, but it's a needed step. So then you get the education from whether it's inside or you have to go outside. Then you, you're already building up the interest by these meetings that we're having and saying, hey, this is what's coming down the pipeline, blah, blah, blah. So you're already building up the interest of people who would want to be involved in actually, you know, the worker side of it. And then, of course, you push that interest. And, you know, and it's not – and I seriously don't think it's going to be difficult to find – the workers, the people who will be interested in working, whether they're in the group or, you know, if it's people who join on to the group. Reason being, because I've been in those fields before, and there's plenty of people who would do that type of work because it's with their hands and it doesn't take a college degree to do it. They don't have to worry about taking classes at night to, you know, for 4 years before they can actually get involved. You know, but that's what I was saying. Start with the education, and then you're definitely on point with the rest of it.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Thank you. That's a great suggestion, Ashley. Actually, I'm writing that note down right now.
Yes.
So, okay, yes. Thank you, sister.
Yes.
Are you a member, sister? Are you, Alina?
This is my first time I tried to log in, but I couldn't get the pin. Something wasn't working. So I'm not a member yet, but, you know, I'm logging in now so that way I can, you know, see what you guys are trying to do, and I'm liking what I'm hearing.
You got a lot of ideas. Definitely love to have you on board.
Yes, sir.
Definitely. Okay, great. Okay, so in the queue we have Sister Carol and Brother Cujo. Sister Carol.
Yes, this is Carol. I want to piggyback on what the young lady just said. This is so true. I was thinking the same thing. Poll your members to see what skill is among them. And another source of skill would be retired workers in those fields. I do a mentoring program on Saturday. So we're like a group of adults who, you know, try to teach, you know, the young people about life experience based on ours. And we try to get into all those things with them, financing, college, job training for those who don't want to go to college. So, but yeah, a few of us, a few of them are retirees. I'm about to be retired. So, you know, I want to continue to use the skills that I have, you know, teaching young people. So there's another market of retired people who work in those industries and have the experience, you know, to teach others. And it probably wouldn't cost a lot of money to get them involved in teaching, you know, other people to do, you know, to do different types of jobs.
How would you suggest finding the retirees?
I know social media, a lot of them is on social media. You know, we could probably reach out, you know, to social media to see, you know, who has the experience and who would like to share it, you know, their experience.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
So we call her from 757. I didn't get your first name. What is your first name, please? Call her from
my name is Rod.
Rod.
Okay, Rod Joyner.
Okay, hold on for a second. Okay, Brother Rod. Okay, brother. You wanted to get in the queue or?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to, I'm in the landscaping and home repair field, and I'm a sole proprietor at the moment, and just like the young lady was saying before, I wouldn't mind teaching a few folks to, do what I'm doing. It's, like she was saying, it's not very hard, you know, it's not anything that's going to take a long time to teach them. It's actually what I've been trying to move into is mentoring a few people. I take a few guys out with me, and I work them under the table. But I try to, help get them in line and help work a few folks that, come out of jail, can't get jobs, things like that. I know another young lady, I've been trying to get her to join the group. I joined about a month ago. And she does, she helps people coming out of jail, helps felons find jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with her a lot too, send her job posts and things like that. But I don't think it would be hard to spread it out because, it's not a high ticket item when you invest in it. You get three or four people and they can run a crew with three or four trimmers and, one lawnmower. Run all day $45 to $65 a yard, 10 yards, make them $500 easy, right. And that's 5 yards a day.
We need to organize that nationwide, like how they got that Green Thumb company. We need to organize that, man, for our brothers and sisters.
Right.
Gotta say it again.
I was going to say, the name of my company is Jack of All Trades. The reason I named it that is, I do a little bit of everything. I do a little moving on the side, a little landscaping. I do a lot of home repairs. I do more of that than I do landscaping. But I got contracts with the landscaping that I have to keep up. I've been trying to find people that I can take and get in the truck, and take over as far as the landscaping goes. But I wouldn't mind, teaching people how to do that. I wouldn't mind doing something like that with the youth, because a lot of the kids out here doing what they do because they don't have access to, a paying job or something that they can look forward to paying past $8.50 for 6-7 years.
Right. Okay, so 757, so where you down there, like VA Beach and all of that down in that area?
Yeah, I'm in Hampton, but I go out to Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, all the way up Williamsburg.
Right. All right, because you're actually doing it. So then you're the man on the ground. So if we start corralling people in that area, then we know they can get trained. All right.
Exactly.
So all right, brother. So I'm gonna hit you up behind the scenes. I'm gonna text you now, and we'll figure out how to make something like this happen.
Okay.
All right, thank you, brother. Thank you for chiming in.
No
okay, cool. So we got Brother Cujo, Sister Rhonda, Brother Fred, and Brother Chris J. Brother Cujo.
Hello.
Brother Cujo.
All right.
Yeah.
I got a quick question that I would like for us on the call to consider. When we're thinking about funding these small businesses that costs little money, pretty much all of these that we just mentioned we could reasonably say cost less than $10,000. Being what the nature of this organization is, when we decide to collectively invest in these small businesses, I just want to ask this question to everybody that's here participating, how do we anticipate the repayment happening? How are we going to structure this these little businesses to where, even though it's a little capital needed to get it started and to get people trained, we're gonna have to pay people from the beginning, and it's gonna be whether it's $1,000 or a few thousand dollars. I don't think it behooves us to have a structure where we just giving, everybody is just giving us a little money to do this, because we want to have. I think it's best to have this reciprocation, and we all need to be thinking collectively, how is that actually going to materialize?
Well, I'm being honest. I think that's probably a discussion that we should have on a members only meeting. I don't think we should be really sitting down thinking, discussing that on this type of call. I think this is something where we have where we sit down, where we have our Tuesday meeting, and everyone weighs in on what they feel. because this, I mean, this is a fresh idea, so we, you know, I haven't even given it any thought. If it's something like what the brother is saying with the jack of, you know, with the jack of all trades, his business, it may not take anything. It may take us just, you know, setting up a ad telling people, hey, yo, you want to work, you know, are you looking for a job in, you know, the Hamptons Road area or the Seven Cities? I forgot what they call it down there. But are you looking for a job? Link up with this brother. This brother is going to train you. And then he's doing the training, and he's a member of Black Wallets Matter. And we're like, okay, cool. We're sponsoring these kids for training. The brother's making money. The organization really didn't spend too much money, but we got these young guys off the streets. That's just progress. And now once we learn the model and learn all the kinks that have come associated with it, now we can branch into another market, and then we'll have a full understanding or a full assessment of what actually goes into doing this. I don't really want to brainstorm and think about that on this call. That's me personally. I think we should have, like, when we have our members-only discussion, I think that's when we should talk about this.
I understand that totally. I just wanted to raise the question just for the sake of everybody in the meeting to be conscious of things like this, because as to what the organization stands for, these are things that we always concerned about, and we have transparency in the organization. And I kind of just wanted to have that on people's mind to know that these are things that we care about and that we always mindful of. And anything that the organization does will be well structured and balanced.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
Sister Rhonda, I see you, Brother Chris J, Brother Chris T, and Brother Fred. I see you guys next. Peace, sister. Sister Rhonda? I don't know what happened. Okay, we'll get back to her. Brother Fred. Hello?
Hey, greetings, brothers. I have a question. I will becoming a member tomorrow. It's my second week listening to you. You guys are very consistent. I love it. So I will become a member tomorrow.
Thank you.
But I have a question. The great ideas I've been hearing all night, which all of them are great, but then that we will be a national organization. And let me know if this information is out there. Will we have chapters in each state or major city?
And yeah, major cities.
So,
major
cities. And will that chapter bring to the organization ideas of business or investments that we could be making or should be making?
Well, all right. So here's how we were intending to roll out. We were intending to roll out based on this is the initial plan. We were going to look at which businesses we could acquire closest to a major black city. We would acquire the business there. We would help the brothers and sisters set up the whole entire model in that particular city, and then that will give us direction for each additional city, and then we would look at whatever other type of opportunities. So we were thinking like Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, Philly, places like that, because the cost to put this thing in play would be cheaper as opposed to going to someplace like New York or L.A. or, you know, whatever. In terms of each individual chapter, so we've been having that discussion in earnest because the chapters need to be able to sustain themselves, because it makes no sense having local chapters where there's a bunch of people sitting around together looking at each other like, well, so what do we do, right? So we have to set the agenda. The organization is 6 months old. We're discovering a lot of these things. So we do have a roadmap, but we want to get like that strong foothold first. And really what that is, it's the awareness. It's the awareness that we exist. It's the awareness that we're actually in the community and we're doing something. So You know, so like I said, we've been around 6 months. By next year, I don't want it to still be where we're a group of people getting together on the call and we're talking about what we should do, what we could do. I want there to be saying, this is what we did, this is what we learned. Here's what we need to do different, or here's what we need to copy, here's what we need to replicate, because next year I fully intend to just be hitting a lot of targets. Boom, 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 boom. And that's what I want. And I know if we start putting forth progress to people in the community, they'll say, oh, wow, you know what? Someone told me about this, but I really wasn't quite sure. I didn't know what you guys were doing, but now we're doing it. And then our thinking is we're going to do it with our current membership. So we aren't waiting to 2,000 members. We aren't waiting for 1 million members. We're going to do it with the brothers and sisters who we have now who care, and we're going to just, we're just going to make it happen. We're going to step out on faith and, you know, and just get the ball rolling. And usually when you put one foot in front of the other, you know, good things usually happen. So, you know, in summary to your question, how the individual chapters will work, we're not 100% sure right now, because I don't want it to be where people are just getting together and doing nothing. I want it where people are getting together and they're actually making change in their community. But, you know, I know that these things take money. And so if you have your local community and they aren't putting in any money to make any change, it's like, well, then what do you do? What are you guys doing over there at your chapter? What are you doing at the branch? You understand? So that's why we want to have a revenue-generating model. So it's like, this is the thing that the organization does. You go out and you sell this, or you do this, or this is the business that you guys are in, and now you have the money coming in, and now this is how you help your community.
And one last question. Once I become a member tomorrow, will I be able to contact those that is in my area here in Atlanta? Is that available for us now?
Yeah, you guys, it's a bunch of you guys in Atlanta. Yeah. Yep. I can put you in touch. Yep. And you got one, two, I don't know, but I see about five of you guys on the call right now. So, and there's way more, and there's a bunch that you know. Yeah, you guys are deep in Atlanta. And actually, Atlanta was actually one of the first places that we were thinking. So, you know, you can become a member. I'll put you in. I'm going to nominate Sister Shamika as the Atlanta ambassador. And then she can, you know, I guess she can, you know, you guys can figure out how you want to do it.
My brother, perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Brother Chris J. Okay, so he left them. All right, Sister, Brother Chris T.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. So I want to address a couple of things that I've heard tonight that sound great, and maybe try to tie it all together into some thoughts that I had. One, I know that, you know, to address the retirees, which I think is a great resource, and using them as mentors, a good way to get in contact with them is through their children, who are, you know, working age. So the like a lot of the memberships of the people we have now in their 30s and their 40s, you know, and so on. What are their, you know, just polling them to see what their parents are doing, and you know, what they're involved in, what they were retired from, and things like that, and branching out from there. So doing outreach through their children, who will, you know, you may have easier access to through social media than the retirees themselves. The other thing is, in terms of mentoring, to tie that with something else that you did, which I thought was extraordinary, which was telling us about that selflender.com. Like, I think that it's tremendously valuable to be very specific about different resources we can take advantage of, because most of how to get ahead is really knowing where the well water is. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know where to go to draw water, then you can make it further than someone just like searching around in the desert, so to speak. So having like specific things like that in keeping with that spirit, I would say even having the retirees create online courses. And here's why I say that. There are companies that host online courses. So basically, you have a skill, right? You can videotape yourself teaching that skill, basically videotape a tutorial, or you could do it live if you want to. It's probably better to do both so that you can be teaching even when you're not teaching if you record it. And they'll host it like an online academy based on the subject matter. So if someone wants to learn how to, you know, change the brakes on their car, you have a step-by-step tutorial how you doing that. What does that do? That, one, provides mentorship to the young brothers and sisters who are trying to get in the game. Two, creates a revenue stream for those retirees because they get paid per download or per class watched. And if we create our own site, because, you know, there's a whole host of websites that do that type of hosting, then, you know, that's creating a revenue stream that recycles those dollars amongst us instead of, you know, another company on the outside. And, right. You know, the last point I wanted to make about that was, you know, to kind of solidify or drive home the idea about how knowledge is power. I used to work at a movie editing company in Hollywood, in the heart of Hollywood, for 10 years. And one of the lead editors afterwards told me about how he had this yearly hustle because of the seasonal nature of the television shows. You know how the television shows would go on hiatus and they would play reruns until the fall season? Well, what he and a lot of people in the know would do is buy stock when in the company when they went to reruns, when the stock was low. And then they would sell the stock right as the, you know, the season premiere would come out. And every year they would ride that wave and pick up a quick $7,000, $10,000, $12,000, depending on how much money they invested in it. And they would flip their money every year just based on the seasonal nature of that business. And I was like, man, that's something that I never would have thought of, but somebody thought of it. And to share that knowledge is to share power. You know, I don't care if you have $500 to invest or $500,000. You know, these are the type of things that we need to be aware of and hip to. And just being specific about, hey, you know, obviously there's always risk and everything is not going to always work out, but there are a whole bunch of, you know, wells out there that we can draw from. We just need to know where they are. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say about that. I want you to keep up the good work. You're doing good things.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sister Rhonda, I see you. Caller from 513. Hold on, Sister Rhonda. Let me end the queue. Caller from 513, your first name, please.
Peace.
Who's
hello?
Yes, your first
this
name.
This is
brother.
Chris. Oh, Chris, I called back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Brother.
Yeah, they got that app working. Ran out of minutes.
Oh, okay. Chris. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Sister Rhonda was in the queue before you, so I got you next. All right, brother?
All right.
Okay. Let me see. That and oh, shoot. Sister Rhonda?
Yes. Brother Lou, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you now.
Okay. No, I just like what the gentleman just now said about the retirees, and I like what the two sisters was talking about the skills and everything, and he mentioned that too. But what I'm just going to say for right now, because I know it's almost 11, and I'm not going. I can. My question can wait for the members. Meeting because what I'm into more is saying like you have to have analysts also because the business that you were doing is not going to be the business that you're going to be teaching these kids of the future. And our community, it's changing. Because we've had all these disasters. I mean, I hate to say it, not for nothing. We had all these disasters, and I was looking at the market today, and the market has shot up, and that's not typical. So the things that we're going to have to do, we're just going to have to change a little bit as we educate for the jobs of the future for the kids, but we're going to have to educate them in the realm of knowing how to change and doing the business in the long run.
Right.
And I'll expand on that at the next meeting. That's all. You let somebody else go because it's 10:52.
Okay. Thank you, sister. All right, brother Chris J. Press star six. Oh, actually, you know what?
Hello,
brother. Yep. Okay. All right. Cool. I can hear you, brother.
Hey, what's up, brother Lou? What's up?
Okay.
Peace. All right, man. I'm gonna keep it brief. I know it's it's getting late. I'm getting a little sleepy, but man, I'm just going to tell you just 100%. I had no faith in Black Wallets Matter. I'm just going to keep it a buck. I thought it was going to be some bunk. You know what I'm saying? I watch everything. I follow all the websites, and I just thought she was going to be another one. But that video you had on Facebook was good enough. That 40-second one got me. And then I watched the 30-minute video. I was like, all right. I told my wife, I was like, this dude got my shit. I was like, he got something just like what I got. I'm like, let me holler at this dude, man. I was like, I got on the call, man, you got me sold, bro. So yeah, I'm gonna sign up or, you know, find the link or whatever. I'm in, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Salute, brother. Salute, man. Well, I'm glad we passed it with you, brother. We here every week, man. You know, that's the important part of this organization. We want to make sure that people are able to find us. We want to make sure that people understand that we are serious about this, and we want them to understand that we have a well thought out plan. So again, you know, I appreciate you, and you were very patient waiting in the queue, I guess, just to tell me that. So I appreciate you keeping in the 100 with us, and you know.
Oh yeah, I got one more thing to say.
Okay,
can I say one more thing?
Yes, guys.
Yeah, it's like y'all were talking about, everybody got a specialty and what people bring to the table and all that stuff. Well, you know, I'm just going to keep it 100 again. Like, you know what I'm saying? I deal with white people, and, you know, a lot of my resources come from other races. But I'm really learning how to just extract a lot of stuff out of their pockets and put it into ours. So that's, like, really what I'm good at is the money thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really good at the politics and all that other stuff, but I really know how the money thing works with, like, the cryptocurrencies and all that stuff. So that's what I could bring.
Okay, and you know, just so you know, brother, this we're not a hate group, we're not a racist group, we're not anti-whiteness. We're just pro-black. And to be honest with you, I'm glad you're thinking like that. You know, work with other groups, organizations. That's the way that money flows in America. So you know, we're not saying that we're going to be insulated. The bottom line is, if you look at like how the Jewish community, the Asian community, the money just circulates in their communities, a few times before it actually goes out to the powers that be, before it goes out to the tax man, before it goes out to the overall manufacturer. So a lot of the things that we need to do, so like the big things that we want to do, we have to do it to be able to hit our people with impact. Our people, so it's just like you said, right, you had to check it out for yourself. You saw this, you really weren't believing us or whatever it was. A lot of it's the same way with millions of brothers and sisters that are out there. They want to see that this organization is serious, that we're not just talking about it. And that's why I'm sitting here talking about some of these lower investment type vehicles. I'm not really so much thinking in terms of what's the ROI, what we're going to get back on the investment in terms of the money. I'm looking at what kind of impact we could create in the community so that we have a model so that we can say, okay, cool, listen, this is what you need to do in your community. You guys need to invest in, like, so what the brother said, he said, what, 3 weed whackers and a lawnmower and a blower, or two weed whackers, a lawnmower and a thing, right? Probably 5-3 grand, whatever it is, if you buy the stuff on eBay. Now you need to go get these young boys out here, and then now you guys need to go and start cutting grass. That's how your local organization makes money. now you can start looking at talking about doing some of the other social enterprises. Because the bottom line is you're not going to be able to do any of these feel-good things unless you have a consistent or a sustainable source of money. That's the whole crux of this thing. We want to do good, but we're not stupid. We know you're going to need money. You're going to need money, and it's going to have to be money that you control that constantly comes in. And so, you know, that's basically what we're trying to do. And so if that means taking the money from another group of people or whatever, because that's where the money is, and bringing it in-house, then by all means, brother, you know, do what you got to do.
Okay, man. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. You know what I'm saying? I just got to make that disclaimer, you know what I'm saying? You know how people get. But I'm all in, bro. Oh, no, right, I'm going to hit you up, though, man, for real.
All right, yep, and we appreciate it. We look forward to having you on board. Okay, so brothers and sisters, anyone who is on the call who is not currently a member, then, again, we would like to invite you to join us. You can go on the website. You can watch the blueprint. It's there's a link there. It says blueprint. You can find out what this organization is about in detail in terms of how our plan is. You can click the link to become a member, and it will you. So when you click that link, you can hear a recording of a previous town hall, but you are on a town hall, so that doesn't really matter. And if you do not want to become a member, but you want to support our cause, there is also a link that you can pledge a one-time contribution. So we are closing in on the 11 o'clock hour, and I am going to end this call. I appreciate everyone coming out tonight and spending this time with us. So hopefully you guys will join us again, and we'll see you next week. Peace. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.